as we've seen the growth of online advertising. And we can talk about changes to the media ownership laws, but we need to put this in the context of a sector which has been suffering an enormous decline in revenues over the last decade. Television advertising revenues over the last 2016 year were down 5%. Over the last 10 years, they've gone nowhere. They're the same nominal levels today that they were a decade ago, notwithstanding the fact that their costs have increased significantly and that is squeezing their profits. And the problem is that whereas once upon a time television used to account for around about 30% of advertising expenditures in main media, today they account for just over 20%. So the problem that we have, which has put us into the situation, is that the economic viability of our television stations, our free-to-air television stations, is being challenged. And we can talk about changing the policy environment, but unless there's a viable economic model to support those television stations, changing the regulation is not going to affect much. If we don't do anything, they'll end up failing.
Indeed. I suppose and a big challenge of that is trying to come up with a new business model, because this seems to be, as you said, a bit of a model issue here in terms of the previously networks of any sort of media, papers, TV, even radio did rely on a lot of advertising funding to exist. Now it seems there's a new challenge about how can these big media networks, legacy, establishment, whatever you want to call them, actually still fund these networks. I want to speak a bit about the changes of the 75% rule, which looks at how much any single network can reach the population. Do you think it's time that the government repealed that law, given we have social media and online platforms where media organisations can essentially still do that anyway?
Look, I think the issue there is that the organisations that the TV stations, free-to-air TV stations, are competing with, they don't have any constraints on their market reach. I think in many ways the 75% is quite anachronistic, and I think that one is probably the easiest one to go in terms of trying to envisage a way in which you get some cost saving into the industry, which is going to be essential moving forward, but also to be able to improve the offering which they can provide to advertisers if they can offer 100% market as opposed to having to negotiate with different owners in different parts of the market. So I don't see that one as being that problematic, but I think the issue there is we need to be thinking about how we can improve their business model going forward, and cost saving and enhanced revenues are the two things that need to be picked up.
Okay, and then there's also the 2 out of 3 rule, which actually looks at the rate of concentration in the media, targeting radio, television and newspapers. Now, previously, you could own 2 out of 3 as a single proprietor, but you couldn't own a third. That's going to change now. So, to put it in context, someone like Rupert Murdoch, who owns News Corp, has newspapers, obviously, The Australian, The Daily Telegraph, as well as Sky News, but doesn't have a radio network established under News Corp. Does that change, which would allow any sort of media proprietor to do that, does that risk having our kind of diversity in media kind of undermined and limited?
Look, I understand the concerns, and I can see a lot of merit in having aspects of that two out of three ownership. But the challenge is that I think the newspapers are also struggling terribly. And it's difficult to see their revenues gone down 50% in the last decade. They're simply not going to survive. So it's a question of, do you have less diverse ownership or do you have no newspapers moving forward? So I think they need to become much more aggressive in terms of how they share content across the different media. I think that the television stations are going to have to go more online and integrate with newspapers to survive. I think radio is probably the one standout. I just don't see how that integrates into a global media empire. Radio is local. When you're travelling to, you want to hear the local weather, not the weather in London. So I think radio might be the one which is separate, and maybe that's one area where we can get diversity. But I'm not quite sure that we can maintain diversity across newspapers and television stations.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose the thing that radio has at its advantage is the rise of podcasting as well, is something that's kind of given the audio medium, if you think about it like that, rather not necessarily what's going out live, but what people will listen to. is still very much something that can be tapped into and that has growth opportunity. I guess we've seen podcasts like Serial, which was released in late March, has been downloaded over 100 million times. And so there's, you know, potential there. Just a quick question on, do we need to have an independent business model across the Australian broadcast media and television? And if so, what is it actually adding to the industry?
Look, I think that you mentioned before radio. I think radio has unique opportunities because it's relatively inexpensive. You can broadcast traditionally, and you can also broadcast across the internet. So radio, I think, is a separate course, and maybe that's where we can get our diversity moving forward. I think the challenge is going to be that we need to, if our newspapers and our television are going to survive, they need to much more efficiently use their content, and that means that they need to share content much more, and they're also going to have to reduce costs. Now, where that's going to have enormous social impacts is that I think that moving forward, our traditional media are going to be much less able to cater to local or regional needs. It's also going to impact the the TV rights for major sporting events, be it the Olympics or the Cricket Australia, and we see that there's also a dispute going on there at the moment. So it is going to impact the financing of elite sport in Australia. Now, we can have a discussion over whether that's necessary or appropriate or a problem or not, but I think that it is going to have enormous social impacts right through our community, so our society. So I think that there are some really significant issues moving forward in terms of working out what we want the media landscape to look like. But I don't think you can regulate that media landscape without first thinking about whether what you put in place is going to have a viable business model.
Okay, and so what about taxpayer-funded organisations like the ABC or SBS up against commercial networks? Do commercial networks kind of have an argument to say, well, hold on, there's a completely unfair competitive advantage in the marketplace here. Well, we're running for profit rather than running for, you know, having government-funded media.
I don't think it's appropriate that ABC tries to get themselves higher up the Google search ratings. I think the ABC moving forward to ensure that we maintain local and regional content, which is where the commercial television stations are simply not going to be able to operate moving forward. So I think there's a gap there, and I think that if the ABC and SBS become too Sydney-centric, I think they're failing in their charter for maintaining a diverse media offering within Australia.
I suppose the advantage there is that the ABC actually has committed a host of regional jobs. I think Michelle Guthrie, quite recently, she took a lot of middle management jobs and said we're going to focus on that regional content coverage. So that may well be the kind of course that they take. And also, I suppose, do you think it's fair to say it falls into that idea of journalism and covering rural issues becoming some sort of a public good that needs to be funded from the government?
Look, I wouldn't just say rural, I'd say regional. There's a lot of regions which aren't rural. But I think the moving of jobs back into regional areas, which was announced, was only partly reversing a lot more significant changes that have occurred in recent years. So I think that it's much more significant than they've actually already announced.
Indeed. I suppose, thinking about moving forward, are we going to see publications or media media outlets that were once TV networks or once newspaper publications that moved to solely online models? And do you think that's something that will be viable going forward in the future?
You're right when you say that television could become increasingly internet-driven, although that's going to pose some enormous challenges, because once you move to internet-based television, you then get the issue of how do you have any censorship, how do you have any control over content, and how do you ensure any local content? So regulation of the internet is incredibly difficult.
I'm sure it would be challenging, to say the least. It's been great talking to you, Professor Peter Wells.
Thank you very much.